From the Lend, the Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the fourth day of October 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And we'll be joined by Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. If you can stay with us for the whole of the hour, you'll hear all of our Commodity Week program recorded yesterday afternoon with our panelists Arlen Suderman, Ellen Dearden, and Brian Stark. If not, you'll hear a portion of it, and then you can listen again online at willag.org or on many of these radio stations over the weekend. This note, as it's related to the Illinois pork producers and mental health, there is a behavioral health workforce center that will be putting on an adult mental health first aid training just for you, and you don't have to be a pork producer, but it would be helpful if you are involved in agriculture. This takes place on November the 6th at the Farm Credit Building here in Champaign County. You can sign up today. Go to the Illinois Pork Producers website to learn more. Now, December corn for the day settled at $4.24¾. It was 3½ lower. The March at $4.41¾, down 4¼ for the day. And the May contract settled at $4.50½, down 4½ cents. November soybeans, 8¼ lower at $10.37¾. January at $10.56, down 8½. For the March, 8½ lower as well at $10.71¼. Bean meal futures at $3.30.50, down 2. And the bean oil at $43.97, 56 cents lower. Wheat futures for the soft red down 13¾ today. It settled at $5.89¾. The hard red December at $5.98 for the wheat, down 13½. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $187, up 60 cents. The feeders at $249.27½, $1.15 higher. And lean hogs for the day at $76.15, down 25 cents. Crude oil at $74.38 a barrel, 67 cents higher. Diesel fuel is up a penny and 7 cents. And the gasoline on the RBOB at $209.04, just about unchanged on the wholesale price for this Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzla, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us to discuss the marketplace. Hi, Mike. Happy Friday to you.
And back at you, Todd, and to all the great listeners on Will Radio.
You know, it is a fantastic day. We had a shower that came through a large part of the state. In fact, it was a bit of a surprise. Came across, I think, parts of Missouri, Iowa, through Illinois, and it just cooled things off. Gave us a little rain, dropped the dust down. I think farmers will be happy, especially if they need to get back into the beans. And they were worried about them drying down so danged fast and losing bushels. What do you see in the marketplace? Because, of course, it moved lower on this Friday.
Yeah, not a shock on the move on the market, because we had a lot of excitement, a lot of tailwinds, and a lot of pushing in the early part of the trading week. And, you know, nowhere more than from the Middle East and the crude oil market, as well as the grain stocks report. And we can't forget the worldwide drought that the market is waking up to, because the news is waking up to it. And I just had seen earlier today that Manaus, Brazil, one of the river port cities, one of the biggest ones that they have, their water levels there in that part of the Amazon are at 122-year lows. So the world's waking up to some of these features, and that, I think, brought in some nice commodity index buying. And that's something that I'll be keeping an eye on as, I think, a big feature of this week's trade. Hopefully will continue next week, either via the WASDE report, via the crude oil market, or via the South American weather and the expected rain being disappointing. But Wednesday we saw a change in tack. The technicals seemed to hold resistance levels like the 52-week moving averages in the case of corn and hard red wheat, and seemed like we hit some other key technical resistance levels in the soybeans as well. And then the port strike ended, but right on the end of that came the phenomenal jobs report Friday. And that just sent the dollar soaring, especially against some of the currencies that we keep, you know, real close track of between you and I with Brazil and China. So profit taking is how I would describe the trade in the later part of the week, Todd. We stayed above, well above the weekly lows in corn and soft red wheat. We did take out the weekly lows in soybeans, so a little bit of a threat there as we start the week next week.
We are at a place, I believe, where the charts are telling us we're going to go one direction or the other as we move through time. Harvest pressure is always an issue. Can we manage to get through that and then to have a bounce into November and December?
I feel like we can because we didn't replicate the 2014 market year in a terrible September like we did back then when we had the chance to, quite honestly. And as I said, this weather issue is not just South America. It's not just Brazil. It's not just South America. It's also still very, very bad in the Black Sea and Eastern Europe regions. We in our hard red and soft red wheat belts, if these models are correct, we're probably going to give back all the gains we made in improvement in drought as we close out the month of October. And then we still have situations with the Middle East also with very, very dry weather too. So I think you've got enough weather out there. What I really liked most about this week, other than what I think was commodity index buying, and I think maybe this is part of the reason why, was A, we cut the port strike's no longer with us now, and B, we really saw the end users come in a variety of ways, and those weekly export sales were a much needed piece of the puzzle, and that right there, I think, helps me feel like unless USDA gives us really something negative on next Friday, that demand coming into the market during harvest would suggest, to answer your question, we don't need to go and take out the recent lows. We should be trying to form a major low at this point. With obviously the Chinese stimulus, you know, that was a big deal for me, as you know, because, you know, we've been able to go up about 40% in the Hong Kong equity markets off the August lows. And we've talked a lot about that.
December wheat since the end of August has rallied about a dollar and then, of course, dropped back the last 2 days of this week. Can it continue its move higher?
Yeah, we're up against a real close up against a trend line in that December soft red contract right around that 585 level. If we hold that and hold the technicals, because to me, if I'm right about commodity indexes buying, we want to keep the technicals intact. But if we hold those up, I do think that sets us up for another move up. I think the wheat rally is the most likely weather rally. And I felt this way for many months now because Argentina, part of the reason why I think wheat got hit so badly on Friday in percentage terms was because Argentina looks wetter and they've had a real struggle in their wheat crop. Australia reported a frost earlier this week, a million tons maybe lost. That's where the WASDE report, I think I want to set up again this next month or this, you know, next week's report for the monthly numbers is keep giving me supportive world wheat numbers out of Ukraine, out of Argentina, out of Australia, and that keeps the bottom intact.
And the WASDE is due out a week from today, in fact, on the 11th. So it is a Friday report. We'll get to talk with you on Friday afternoon about that. You've been watching other things, the livestock side, the ethanol future, or the ethanol and consumption. What else has been on your mind?
You know, the biggest thing in the very short term this weekend, other than the South American weather, bookending next week, I think South American weather charts, and then the Middle East, the Iranian head of the Iran, the Ayatollah himself, came out on Friday and suggested that Israel would not be around very long. It was a very straight on, non-veiled threat and really opens the door up for more upside and volatility in the crude oil market, which tends to help the commodity index buying as well.
Would that push wheat futures lower?
I don't think so. I think that what would happen, unless the copper would go lower or the dollar would outpace us to the upside, I think the energies and the wheat would probably work hand in hand.
All right. Thank you much.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Let's check the weather forecast now with Eric Snodgrass. He's at Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Hello, Eric. Thanks for being with us on a Friday again.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me on again.
Hey, you know, I do want to talk about Helene just a bit. I made a trip to Southern Illinois on Wednesday to Vienna and Cobden and Pomona. Great places in the Shawnee Forest or near it. It was a fantastic day. I was doing some work for Extension at that time. However, I made note when I was out in some of the gardens that I was working through that, man, it had been wet. And I believe they had 6 inches of rain in the last couple of weeks, but 3 inches maybe out of Helene. I can't remember, but Helene did have an impact.
It did. You know, Helene is going to go down as one of our most expensive natural disasters in U.S. history. And it was a pretty unique setup simply because the storm system that came through Illinois before Helene ever made landfall in Florida, which was a week ago, right, is what pulled it into the Mid-South. And the flooding, which is just, I mean, it's absolutely catastrophic. I know that most people listening to us have seen, you know, just horrific images of what happened down there. But the National Weather Service came out and said that, you know, this particular flood event near Asheville, so near the Smokies, near the Blue Ridge Mountains, it's a 2,000-year event. Now, what that means, just to be clear, is that the probability or the chance of a flood of that magnitude happening in any given year is about 1 in 2,000. So it's not that you don't get another one for another 2,000 years, just understanding it's a statistic. But, you know, Todd, I'll be honest with you. It was here in Illinois doing weather forecasting, it was an exhausting week just to see the ramifications of what happened down there. And I'm not even in the thick of it. And so it's one of those disasters that we'll probably be cleaning up for months, if not years, in certain places. And it has shut down some major thoroughfares in parts of the Southeast. So this cleanup effort is going to continue, but this will likely be one of our most expensive natural disasters ever.
And our hearts and prayers go out to those folks in those areas. Here, there was a shower today. It didn't come out of Helene, clearly. That came out of the west.
Yeah, you know, by the way, though, we had some pretty strong winds from Helene here. I had tree branches down in my backyard, and I saw some of the corn crop had the tops blown out of it. But anyway, after that, nearly everywhere else in the country was bone dry. And this little front has snuck through. And I woke up this morning after watching the forecast yesterday saying, hey, there might be a chance of some rain, eastern Iowa, northeastern parts of Missouri and western Illinois. And sure enough, we had a storm that popped up this morning and carried through us. It's dead, you know, it made its way through. But we got a little bit of a rain shower and not well forecast overall. I knew about it about 24 hours in advance. But I do feel pretty confident that the next 2 weeks are going to be something that most of us don't probably want to hear. So I'll let you lead me into that, Todd. But yeah, interesting little rain shower this morning.
Well, if it was something that most of us didn't want to hear, it would be cold and we'd have frost and yeah. It would be really, really wet. I don't think any of those things are true.
No, I mean, we're if we have some cooler weather, it'll be just like what we've seen over the last couple of weeks where it's like, oh, one night we wake up and it's 40 degrees in the morning, but then the temperatures rebound. And if you think the rebounding temperatures are happening here, my goodness. So in Montana, the Dakotas, Nebraska, they'll have frosts one day, 2 days later, it'd be almost at 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So the temperature fluctuations are huge. And what's happening is there's a huge ridge that's anchored in the southwestern United States that's extending all the way to the Canadian Prairie. So any flow coming into North America is going into British Columbia, staying in Canada, maybe dipping into the Northeast, but we're too close to a big ridge, which is why most forecasts for the next 2 weeks have very, very limited chances of rainfall for nearly the, you know, all of the central United States. So, and that's all of the Corn Belt as well. And the next tropical system looks like if it even does form, which it'll be probably very weak if it does, it's going to hit central and southern Florida. So it's not even looking like a system that could make a move to spread some moisture in our way. So we're going to be going through the middle part of this month on a very, very dry kick.
Will we finish the month that way too?
That's the question. So there have been some forecasts that have suggested, and looking at some of the models, that we could take the trough that's in the Gulf of Alaska and move it to the southwest. I've seen that a few times. It's not happening until like the 18th or the 19th or the 20th of the month. But if it does, November looks entirely different. We won't be dry. We won't be warm. It'll instead go back over to a much more, you know, volatile pattern. And I hate to say this, but I hope we have all the harvest done by then, because I want that to occur. I want November to be wet as we can make it. I know that sometimes gets in the way of fall field applications, but Todd, I'm much more, you know, anxious, I would say, about the fact that the soil moisture in the Midwest and the plains is so very low.
And does that give you any indication or concerns about next year?
It does. So, you know, the idea here is simply this. If you ask any meteorologist who's been in the business of seasonal forecasting, hopefully they have all learned one thing. There's only two variables that we can use to do seasonal prediction. That's anything beyond a couple of months. And that's going to be ocean temperatures, and that's going to be soil moisture. And the reality is that, okay, the Mississippi at Memphis came up 12 feet, but the upper Mississippi, the Missouri, and the Ohio River valleys are still very, very dry, most of them. Great Lakes Basin is very dry. And the next, you know, 3 weeks is very dry in those areas. So here's the worry. If we do not replenish soil moisture ahead of winter, it's very hard to do it in winter, mainly because our soils often freeze up. And remember, there's not as much moisture in snow as there is in the rainfall. So what I'm saying here is that if we can't correct drought during winter, then we have to become very heavily reliant on spring rains. And the problem is that we're going into a La Nina winter. You look historically, the growing seasons that follow La Nina winters, 6 in 10 of them have lower precipitation rates during summer. So what I don't like is that we're dry now, even though winter could be, you know, for all intents and purposes, a normal winter that maybe I'll get my snowblower out. But we get into next year, and I just am overly concerned about how history would tell me to tell you maybe the drought risk is a bit of an increase next year because of what's happening right now. So all of that wrapped up to say I'm not settled yet on maybe the risks over the next 6 to 9 months for drought in the middle part of the country.
And finally, South America, you've been saying the rains will come. Will they?
Yeah, I actually feel like I got one right here. You know, we saw some good indications that the dryness was going to be overcome in late September. You have to undo the dryness in the low and middle atmosphere before the rains will ever start. And it started to peel back. Well, all the new forecast models, GFS, European model, the artificial intelligence, they've all gone over the next 10 days, bringing in about 50 millimeters of rainfall for those areas that really need it. And what's 50 millimeters? That's about 2 inches. That is what most of these planters are waiting on, is they got to get about that much to get into the seed bed, to get things prepped and going. And the new forecast from now through the middle of November is wetter for most of Brazil's growing areas. So these delays we've seen early in the planting of soybeans, they're going to be erased pretty quickly as I think we go kind of headlong into some very active planting throughout much of Brazil's center west region.
Hey, thank you much.
Yeah, you bet.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like to listen at willag.org. That's willag.org.